Evidently, there was an election yesterday. I don't know if y'all knew that. I'm not up here to, but yeah, it happened. So, it kind of does go into what I was talking about. Faith in crisis. Yeah, I had no idea who was going to win an election. The media had an idea of who was going to win, but that person didn't win. But things come our way in life that we, curveballs get thrown your way and you didn't know they're going to happen your way. And sometimes you have to learn how to react to unknown things that are going to happen in the future. We talk about the future. Many people, even on the radios, I listen to reaction of the election and what happened. Whichever side you're on, if you're a guy or you're a woman, well, you're a guy. If he won, then you're rejoicing. And there's just great, everyone, we're going to come together. And if your woman did not win, then there is fear and gnashing of teeth and doomsday. The sky is falling. However, I've been on the other side 8 years ago or 4 years ago when a different candidate won, we got president, and sure enough, I had those feelings like, this guy is really going to fall tomorrow. Or you think that. And the attitude that comes over people, and it was all over people yesterday on whichever side you voted, was the attitude of fear. I'm afraid. I'm afraid what's going to happen. I have no idea what's going to happen, but there is this attitude of fear, and when people live out in fear and they have this attitude of fear their whole life, or every day they just wake up in anxiety and fear, and I just don't know what's going to happen, and you do some crazy things. That's why you see the rioting, and that's why you see protesting. We have that right, but I'm like, it gets crazy when people are just on edge. There was an article in the Huffington Post recently, a short article on fear, and it was a little comic strip. It talked about the differences, or the similarities, actually, of fears between children and fears of adults. How many of y'all have children? How many of y'all had children that were afraid at one point or another? Okay. So we know that. Children are afraid of many things. Actually, adults are afraid of things as well. The similarity of the little pictures, it said childhood fear would be doctors, and the adult fear would be doctor bills. It's just a little different. Childhood fear is bad dreams. Adult fear is unfulfilled dreams. Close. Childhood fear is strangers. Adult fear is crippling social anxiety. I just can't be around people. Childhood fear, clowns. Adult fear, clowns still, especially after. They're creepy. I mean, what are those things? But there's this, the fear that comes over us, and if you watch enough news, and, you know, it's just fear. And what is the fear really? If you boil it down, what is it of? It is of the unknown. It is of the future that I can't dictate or control, or something's out of my circumstances, and that caused me to be fearful or afraid. Tonight we're going to be in Matthew chapter 14. If you have your Bibles, open it there. Jesus is going to teach a lesson to his disciples, his followers, and it's going to happen, and it's going to address their fear. And it's going to happen in the context of a storm. Not just any regular storm, but a storm. And you're not just at home with your electricity. No, you're in the middle of a sea, and here comes a storm. Not the first place you want to be. Matthew chapter 14. This story is recorded in all four Gospels. So I would suggest it's significant. If God decides he's going to have all four Gospel writers write their version of this story, it's probably an important story. What happened just after it, or just before this story happened? The miracle feeding of the 5,000. Even my son said, it wasn't just 5,000. It was 5,000 men. I'm like, okay, touche, good point. 5,000 plus, a lot of people are gathering around Jesus. He's getting a crowd. They're getting hungry. You know the story. Little boy has his picnic here, and Jesus blesses it, does a miracle. Pass it out, apostles. Okay, sure. And they come back, and they have more leftovers than when they started with. Jesus does a miracle. Immediately after that, John says the crowd wanted to make Jesus king. In John's retelling of the story, they wanted to make him the president of the nation, be number one guy. And if he has to take it in power, take it in power. John says he knew this, Jesus knew this, and so what does he do? Disciples go away, and I'm going to go up to this mountain and pray. Disciples go across the sea to the other side, get away from all these people, and I will meet up with you at some point down the road. Sea of Galilee, beautiful sea. I haven't been there. I hope to go there one day. It's 700 feet below the sea, below sea level. Not only that, it's surrounded by mountainous ridges. And so what happens is the warm air comes over and meets the cool air, and all of a sudden, storms can just turn up. Weather can get really bad, really quick, unexpectedly. Note that these disciples, when they get on this boat, they're going to cross. They're doing exactly what Jesus tells them to do. They're going to cross the Sea of Galilee. They did not have an iPhone that could tell them the seven-day forecast. They did not have, the radar so they could see, is this like intense? Is this whatever? All they had was the color of the sun. What color it was, based on that, they would know if they were going to be in trouble or not. So, different context than what we're used to, but if you've ever been in a storm, or a hailstorm, or in the middle of water, it's not a good situation. And that's where they find themselves. Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. When he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." They cried out for fear. But immediately, notice how many times it says immediately in this text, Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered and said, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." When Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. Beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him, said to him, "O ye of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Quite an experience. Yep. So we're going to do in this path, I'm going to say four facts that can happen in our storms. I'm going to use that analogy. Have you had storms in your life? Maybe not in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, but unexpected events that happen. We can call them crisis. We can call them whatever it is. A call from a doctor, a friend that now, you have a hurt relationship. You have a child that's disobedient to you. Whatever it is that comes your way, we have a choice. And these disciples had a choice. So a couple of things, four things about storms and reality from this text. First, I would say storms are a reality of life. Even the disciples, the followers of Jesus, the Messiah, the one that does these miracles and says, "Follow me," and man, they're so courageous to follow him, and he does things that they've never seen before. Even them, after feeding 5,000 men, they find themselves in a storm. Who told them to go into the Sea of Galilee? Jesus. So maybe another lesson is, even when you're following God's orders or God's calls, he may lead you into a storm. Sometimes obeying God could lead you into a crisis. Storms are a reality of life. They're going to happen. If you're not in a storm right now, you will be in a storm. Just give it time. It's a reality. But secondly, I would say Jesus is always with us in the storm. Immediately, Jesus saw them. Jesus is away praying. Solitude, getting right with the Father, making sure he's about his will and his agenda. And it says he sees them. No matter how dark or desperate your storm is, the Lord of the universe is always with you. He sees you. He knows you. Of course, they didn't recognize him. Holy Ghost, what is that? More fear. I mean, if the storm wasn't enough. This isn't just a little drizzle. It says, The wind is howling and blowing. The stern is going back and forth. Water's probably coming on their boat. They're trying to row, and one of the gospel writers says they're trying to row, but they can't do anything about moving their boat or getting out to safety. They are in danger. And here comes Jesus. They don't recognize him at first. Notice he's walking. You never notice in the scriptures that Jesus is frantically running. He's always walking, isn't he? Why is that? I don't know. Well, I have one idea. He's the God that created the seas. He's the God that created the wind. He's the God that created thunderstorms. He's not worried by their storm at all. And he can show that he can even overcome natural things by just walking on water. Now, some I've tried to deny that maybe he was actually walking. Maybe he was on the coast a little bit, and maybe he was like they were miles into the Sea of Galilee. Okay, well, maybe it was maybe it was winter, and he's walking on an ice. I'm like, what? That wasn't frozen. Not in this. He just fed the 5,000. They're sitting in lush grass, and now it's wintertime all of a sudden. And I'm like, no, stop trying to explain away the miracle that the Bible says happened. He walks on the water. I would love to be able to walk on the water. I think that'd be a cool thing. But most of us don't walk on the water. Peter gets a chance, and he does it for a while. They don't recognize Jesus. Who are you? You must be a ghost. He says, I am. Anytime Jesus says, I am, it is significant. You're putting yourself with God, Jehovah, the one that made a covenant with Israel. You're putting yourself with that God. Yes, Jesus is saying, me and God the Father are one. That's what he's saying. I am. Later on, Jesus would say, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the good shepherd, and so on. I am before Abraham even was. Last week, we talked about Moses, and Moses said in Exodus, who am I to say that sent me to go say, let the Israelites go? And he would say, I am. I am that I am sent you. Jesus is now saying, me and that God, the creator God, are one. The creator of the universe is, and me are one. We're the same. I am. So he sees them. He steps on the water, he created, he walks to his disciples, he's walking, notice his timing is always perfect. And in this disastrous storm, he's going to show his perfect timing and his perfect way to his students. And they're in class in the middle of a storm. And they're frantic and they're panicky and they're fearful. Not Jesus. He's not. Third, I would say Jesus always uses storms to teach us to walk on water. I remember when Madison and Mason were little toddlers, you know, like one or two or three, and you're like, I'm going to get you in the water. Before swimming lessons, you're at a hotel somewhere and you have a pool because you always want to get a hotel that has a pool, indoor pool preferably, even though it gets really hot and steamy in there, but you never know about weather, especially in this text. You never know about weather. So you go and you get in there, and me and being the good dad, of course, he had the life jacket. You never know what could happen. Be safe. But then what do you encourage your toddler to do? They've never really gotten used to the water. Just get on that first step. Just get on that first step. Get your feet wet, right? Just get used to it. Okay. Then they get on. They're scared at first, but they finally get on there, and they're king of the world. They can do no wrong, right? Then what's the next step? Oh, yeah, we're jumping in the water now. Now come over here, Mason, and stand up there now. I'm going to be right here. Jump to me, and I'm going to catch you. You're not going to catch me, Dad. You won't catch me. You know, their knees are all shaking. I don't know about it. You have that conversation. Eventually, they jump. When they jump, do you let them sink to the bottom? I don't think, maybe Ronnie. Maybe you did. Your boys are tough. It's a tough love in the Robinson family. But most parents that I know that are good parents, you catch your child. Why? Because you want them to jump again, right? You want them to have faith that you're going to catch them. Jesus wanted to teach his disciples about faith. When your life is in distress and you're in the middle of a storm, Jesus knows about it. He's there with you. He's the one that created or allows things to happen that are creation and natural things happen. He's always there. If God never lets us go through storms in life, we always stay that toddler that just wants to stay on the first step of life. Just kind of get my feet wet just a little bit. It's comfortable right here. I'm just going to stay here. And when you're 35 and you're still on that first step, you look stupid, right? You should have learned to jump. You should have learned to jump. A lot of Christians love to get just enough of God to stay on the first step. And I'm going to be comfortable. God doesn't want Christians to be comfortable. Jesus Christ didn't die so that we can be comfortable. He wants us to be people of faith and to be bold and to take chances and to be risky. Risky according to God's word. There's principles to live by. When was the last time that you needed God to show up in a mighty way in your life and you were trusting God for that? Not yourself. Not what you think you've done the yay or nay. You've crossed all the possibilities out and this now makes sense logically, so I think I will do this. When did you last trust God? Our faith can only be stretched or strengthened and matured as we go through storms with Jesus. Jesus wanted them to go through the storm. He wanted to show them and teach them a lesson on faith. Peter. A lot of people like to give Peter a hard time. Peter just always with his emotions. Are you Jesus? Yes, I'm coming after you, okay? Can I come? Me. He did. And he did great. He was walking in the deep end until he took his eyes off Jesus. And then he sank. Peter, actually, he obeyed the command. He stepped out of the boat. The other 11 didn't even think about it. I'm going to stay right here in this boat. Actually, it was safer. Peter was in the safest spot with Jesus, the one that creates and allows things to happen. You can't be in any better or safer place than with Jesus Christ. No better place than that. But that's not the end of the story. Then I say the last thing, the only thing that we can control in storms is our response to Jesus. So Peter gets out of the boat. When storms come in our life, we have a choice. We can choose to look at the fear. We can look at our circumstances. We can look at our dilemma, our struggle, our crisis. And that's what Peter began to do. It says he looked at the wind. He saw the fierce storm. He saw the velocity of the wind. He grasped the height of the waves. He shuddered at the power of lightning and thunder. It was probably pretty easy to look away. Probably had a little ADD. And he immediately began to sink. It's easy for us to be like Peter. God, have you noticed my situation? Have you noticed that it's not all necessarily easy? I'm having some difficulties in this area or perhaps with this child or this parent or some health issues or financial things or there's a president we're electing. God, can I help you give you some advice? God of the universe. And then we look at everything else that's in disarray according to what we think it should be like. It's making my life hard. I don't like the waves coming in over the boat. I don't like all the lightning and thunder. I don't like things I can't control. Peter noticed all that. There's a prophet, Jeremiah. He wrote the book of Lamentations. You're going to have to flip over and find it. This is the only one I'll make you find. You can use a table of contents. It's to the left a ways. If you find Jeremiah, then keep going to the right. And there's Lamentations. Jeremiah is a prophet of God. He was a prophet that had a message that was going to come to Israel and tell them that God is not pleased with you. He was, and God's going to bring his judgment on you, which oftentimes prophets did. The people were not very receptive of that. Go figure. So they kick him out of town, probably persecution. So he's in a storm for obeying God. Jeremiah chooses to blame God for his circumstance. He chooses to have a pity party to God. Lamentations chapter 3. He says this, I am the man who has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He, God, has led me and made me walk in darkness and not in light. Surely he has turned his hand against me. Time and time again throughout the day, he has aged my flesh and my skin. So it's not just an emotional turmoil or a spiritual turmoil. He's physically being abused, and he's broken my bones. He has besieged me and surrounded me with bitterness and woe. He has set me in dark places like the dead of long ago. He has hedged me in so that I cannot get out. He has made my chain heavy. Even when I cry and shout, he shuts out my prayer. He has blocked my ways with hewn stone. He has made my path crooked. He has been to me a bear lying in wait, like a lion in ambush. God has turned aside my ways and torn me in pieces. He has made me desolate or without anything. Strong words. He's in a dark place. He's in a storm and he can't see any hope. I would challenge you and myself, you want to cut yourself off from the Lord? Get mad at God. Blame God. Yell at God. In addition to that, stop praying. Stop worshiping. Stop reading your Bible. Stop going to church. Stop serving in church. In no time at all, you will sink to the bottom of bottoms. Because when we blame God, we cut ourselves off from the only source that can give us hope, love, and peace. God allows storms to come into our lives. God's will, God's ways are not man's ways. Everything that God allows to happen or chooses to happen might not line up with your thinking. God is not a Republican or Democrat. God's above kings. God's greater than that. Only thing we control, if we look at the fear of our situation or the storm, that's one choice. You can focus on your fear. The other choice, focus on your faith in Jesus Christ. It's your choice. God allows you to have that choice. Notice what Peter did back in Matthew chapter 14. Peter in verse 30, he sees the wind, it's crazy, he's afraid, he's beginning to sink, he cries out, Lord, save me, and immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him. He said, oh, you little faith, why did you doubt me? And when they got in the boat, the wind ceased. When did the wind cease? When they all got in the boat. I'll get to that in a little bit. Focus on fear, and your faith will fade. Focus on faith, and your fears will fade. It's your choice. There was a lot of doomsday yesterday. A lot. I just about am so fed up with Facebook. I enjoyed rather not knowing everybody's bent on how they've been and who they support and don't support, and this Christian person support this person, that person, this person, that person, this person. Who cares? We put our faith in a government. We put our faith in an economy. We put our faith in belongings. Those things come and go. It's going to change. The only thing that's going to last is God, Jesus Christ. You flip to Revelation, by the way, God lasts forever. He's sitting on his throne. He's always going to sit on his throne. He always has sat on his throne. And guess what? He's going to still be sitting on his throne. Whether America's here or not here, whatever else, he knows the full story. And it does bug me when Christians write people off based on what they believe or don't believe politically. I do believe you can know someone by the fruit of their life, if they're whether they're a believer or not, but didn't Christ die for everyone? We have a tendency to say, these people are with us, and those people are not with us. God loves me. God does not love you. Right? Christians, we need to stop that. God loves everybody. God does not like evil. God does not like things like that. But Jesus Christ died for mankind, for all sinners. Focus your faith on Jesus. As Peter kept his eyes on Jesus, he was victorious over the storm and he walked on water. Focus. What are you focused on tonight? We have a new president. That's great. I'm not saying you should not vote. I'm not saying you should not. Government is set up by God. Romans 13, yes. You should submit to government, yes. You should do what's right as a civil citizen and vote and do your rights, and you should, yes. But don't expect government to solve all your problems in your life. They're not going to. They can't. It's not possible. God's the only one that's there. Jesus Christ is the only one that's done everything to save me when I am in disarray and when I'm in a storm. He is the one that comes by my side and says, I made a way for you. I saved you on a cross. I saved you. Jeremiah, I didn't mean to throw him under the boat or the bus, boat tonight, I guess. Lamentations 3, I didn't say we're going to go back there, but we're going back there. Lamentations 3, he comes around, Jeremiah does. Lamentations 3, verse 21. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. Though the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not, they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul, therefore I hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. Jeremiah remembered his hope. His hope was in his faith and who he trusted in, and that was a God of the universe that knows him, that knows the situation, that knows everything, and that loves him. And his faithfulness, God's faithfulness, is new every morning. Every morning that sun comes up. Bethany Hamilton, I'm sure y'all probably recognize the name. It's a great last name. I like her last name a lot. Born in Hawaii to a family of surfers. Christian parents taught her to love the Lord. She won her first surfing competition at the age of 8. At the age of 13, on October 13th, 2003, she was attacked by a 14-foot tiger shark. Grabbed a hold of her left arm, in seconds severed her left arm from her body. That's a storm when you're a surfer. What does she do? Does she focus on her fear? I'm sure she had a lot of fear in the days and weeks ahead. Or did she focus her faith on Jesus Christ that she's been taught about since birth? 1 month after her attack, she returns to that same water that she knows a shark could be in there again. Eventually, she wins her first national surfing title in 2005. She then goes on to become a professional surfer. And greater than all of that, she used her storm, being a one-armed surfer, to talk about her faith in Jesus Christ. She used her storm to tell people who and what she believes in, who got her through that tragedy. She's written books. She's been on about 25 different television shows. They even made a movie about her, Soul Surfer. It's a great movie. Go watch it. She was in a storm. She chose to focus on her faith in Christ, not to focus on her fear and her circumstances. Keep her eyes on Jesus. Jesus could have immediately calmed. He can immediately calm your storm. He can't, but he doesn't. If you've been in storms, you're like, man, I'm in the middle of this terrible situation. Why doesn't God just get me out of it? Why don't you just save me right now? He could. Sometimes, though, could it be that Jesus is trying to teach us a lesson like he's trying to teach his disciples? He didn't have to let his disciples go through a storm, but he allowed it to teach them a lesson. He could be teaching them and us the same lesson. Perhaps he wants us to conquer our fears with faith in him. Go a little bit deeper in the pool. Trust me. I got you. Perhaps he wants us to live with faith and trust in him no matter what the circumstances are. Perhaps the best thing in life isn't always sailing safely. But the best thing in life is learning how to walk on the water through the storm with him, how to survive the storm with God, with Jesus Christ. Are you living in life focusing on the fear of your storms? Or do you have faith in your Heavenly Father that's sitting on his throne? What's your focus? What are you choosing to focus on tonight? Ups and downs of life, different things. The uncertainty, the unknown of the future can quickly overwhelm us and can cause our faith to flee. I'm just afraid. And there are a lot afraid, especially yesterday, there were a lot afraid evangelicals. This story tells us, reminds us, and assures us that there is no situation beyond God's knowledge. God knows it all. He's not surprised by today's outcome. Nothing surprises God. No condition beyond his control, no circumstances beyond his power. It's a choice. Am I the disciple? Am I Peter? Oh my good, look at all this. Or am I looking at Jesus Christ? Now, when you look straight at Jesus Christ and you follow him, you focus on him, that doesn't mean you won't have difficulties. You will. But he'll be with you through it. Charles Spurgeon said this about God's sovereignty. There is no attribute more comforting to his children than that of God's sovereignty. Under the most adverse circumstances, in the most severe trials, they believe that sovereignty has ordained their afflictions, that sovereignty overrules them, and that sovereignty will sanctify them all. There's nothing for which the children ought to more earnestly contend to than the doctrine of their master over all creation, the kingship of God over all the works of his own hands, the throne of God and his right to sit upon that throne, for it is God upon the throne whom we trust. Spurgeon, watch out. God's on his throne. And I was fully prepared to come and say, regardless of whatever presidential candidate won, God is on his throne. Because people are in fear. Why are they in fear? They've forgotten that God's on his throne. Stephen Curtis Chapman, I'm a big fan of his, even though he's getting older. I guess I am too. Great musician, but more importantly, great songwriter and Christian, most importantly. I like that songwriters now are putting Facebook clips to the songs. They know, like, I go live, and that's how they get more people. I get it. But he put out a song that he recently wrote, and he entitled it God is on his throne. And he based it off of two verses. Daniel 2, it says, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. He changes times and seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. Psalm 103:19, the Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. When we have a faith problem, we have a focus problem. We're either focusing on fear of our circumstances, and we're trusting in ourselves instead of God, or we're focusing on God. God, you have this, and you're allowing this into my life. I pray that you would teach me more about you through this storm. I close with a song. I hope it encourages you. I don't put my faith and trust in a government or a president. They're there for a purpose. God allows them, but they will come and go. God does not. If you're in the middle of a storm, God is with you. He sees you. He may not immediately save you, but He's there. Trust in Him. Have faith in Him. Believe in Him. Let's watch this song. Then Will will come up.
Hear everybody talking on the right and on the left, and they're holding out their promises while we all hold our breath. And if I did not know better, I would be scared to death. But God is on the throne. Yes, He is. Well, I know that it all matters, and there's so much at stake. And I know that we need wisdom for decisions we must make. But there's only one who's making promises that He won't break. And He is on the throne. And He is faithful and true. Everything He says He'll do. Everything that we go through, He will go in us. All the kingdoms of men are in the palm of His hand. So I will not fear, I'll say it loud and clear, so my own heart can hear it. God is on the throne. I've got my fears and worries like everybody else. I love this country and it's broken and in desperate need of help. So I'm praying to the one who has the power to make us well. And He is on the throne. And He is faithful and true. Everything He says, He will go.